Let's be sure to make room for Christ, not just this season, but every day of the year. Because remember that Joseph and Mary had come to Bethlehem to be registered. And the scripture says, Luke 2, verse 7, there was no room for them at the inn. The innkeeper had the opportunity to be one of the first to welcome the King of Kings, born as a babe, into the world. But he was too busy. He was distracted. I want to continue our study from this morning and notice some others that missed the blessing of Jesus and some reasons why. Consider the chief priests and the scribes. And this is the context when Herod learns about the wise men have come and asking, inquiring about where is the baby born that's going to be king of the Jews. And being the king of this area, he latched onto that and wanted to know for himself. Herod, Matthew 2 verse 4 says, gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together. He inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, but you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people, Israel. I find it fascinating that these chief priests and scribes knew the answer to Herod's question. Where is the Messiah to be born? And they quoted Micah 5 and verse 2, that he would be born in Bethlehem. But what's amazing to us is the fact that as far as the scriptural record goes, they didn't go to Bethlehem. They didn't go to Bethlehem to see if the star that these wise men had been following did in fact indicate where the Messiah had been born. The chief priests and the scribes knew the answer, knew the biblical answer to the question. But apparently they didn't go to see if in fact the Messiah had been born. Jesus would say to a like-minded group, John 5, 39 and 40, you search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, but these are they which testify of me. But you are not willing to come to me that you may have life. Here are some examples. Chief priests, scribes, they knew the law, they knew the Old Testament, they knew the prophecies about the Messiah who was to come, even the place where he was to be born. Yet it seems they were comfortable in that knowledge and thought that just by searching the scriptures that was good enough. Searching and knowing the scriptures, yet missing the blessing of Christ. But folks, that can happen today as well. Let me read to you a brief article that a former seminary student had written concerning one of his professors. He said, while studying in the Holy Lands, a seminary professor of mine met a man who claimed to have memorized the Old Testament, memorized the whole Old Testament in Hebrew. Needless to say, the astonished professor asked for a demonstration. A few days later, they sat together in the man's home. Where shall we begin? Asked the man. Psalm 1, replied my professor, who was an avid student of the Psalms. Beginning with Psalm 1:1, the man began to recite from memory while my professor followed along in his Hebrew Bible for 2 hours. The man continued word for word without a mistake as the professor sat in stunned silence. When the demonstration was over, my professor discovered something even more astonishing about the man. And listen, he discovered that this man who could quote the Hebrew Testament, Old Testament, was an atheist. Here was someone who knew the scriptures better than most Christians ever will, yet he didn't even believe in God. chief priests and scribes knew the scriptures. They were students. But yet even they missed the blessing of Christ. You see, a person can memorize a lot of facts about scripture and even a lot of scriptures and yet still fail to know Jesus. Because that personal relationship through Christ with God is not present. The theme of the Bible, I remember Wendell Winkler emphasizing this in his classes, the theme of the Bible is the salvation of man through Christ to the glory of God. And the whole Bible fits into that theme in one way or another. Yet many can even read and study and even memorize the scriptures and miss the point. They can miss the blessing of Jesus because their response is not one of faith. Another way of looking at it is there's a big difference between knowing facts and knowing a person. I could learn all kinds of facts about the president, for example, without really knowing him. If you were to ask me, do you know the president? I would have to reply, I know about him, but I don't know him personally. The same way we can know a lot of facts about Jesus and yet not know him as our Savior and as our Lord. Indifference keeps us from knowing Jesus. I like to call it a holy indifference that these chief priests and scribes had. Searching the scriptures, knowing the prophecies, yet blind to the fact that they were being fulfilled in Jesus. There's another group I want us to consider that missed out on the blessing of Jesus. And that is the people of Nazareth. Joseph and Mary took Jesus to Nazareth, which was to become his hometown, the place where he would grow up as the son, as their son. And there's not much we know about Jesus' boyhood, growing up. In fact, Luke 2 is the summary of what we know. Jesus went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject to them. But his mother kept all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. Some call these years of Jesus' earthly existence the silent years because we don't know much about his life then. But can you imagine growing up in the same town as Jesus? What would that have been like? And interacting with him, there had to be something special about him that people observed. But when it came time for Jesus at about the age of 30 to announce his public ministry, even the people in his own hometown began to question his identity. Consider with me Mark chapter 6. This is when Jesus would go back to his hometown of Nazareth and watch the reception that he got. He went out from there and came to his own country, and his disciples followed him. And when the Sabbath had come, he began to teach in the synagogue. And many hearing him were astonished, saying, "Where did this man get these things? What wisdom is this which is given to him that such mighty works are performed by his hands?" You see, they knew him. And they're astonished that these words are coming out of his mouth and that these works, mighty works, these miracles were being performed. They don't understand. They've known him. In fact, they ask, "Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, and brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? Are not his sisters here with us?" And they were, notice, offended at him. But Jesus said to them, "A prophet is not without honor except in his own country, among his own relatives, and in his own house." He could do no mighty works there except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief. Then he went about the villages in a circuit teaching. In his own hometown, where he had grown up, and now he's back teaching and doing these miracles, and yet his fellow Nazarenes are questioning, "Who is this? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary? Don't we know his family? How is it that he's able to do these things? And they took offense at him. Why did the Nazarenes miss the blessing of Christ? Obviously, because of their unbelief, Jesus said. But it may have also been because of the deadening effect of familiarity. Have you heard this phrase? Familiarity breeds contempt. What does that mean? Well, here are a couple of definitions that I found concerning this phrase. Familiarity breeds contempt. This means that the more you know something or someone, the more you start to find faults and dislike things about it or them. Another one stated, this phrase means we don't recognize what a good thing or a good person we have because we see it or him or her every day. Our close acquaintance blinds us to the value of what we have, like a prophet not without honor, except in his own country. And that definition seems to fit what's happening here as the people of Nazareth are offended, not impressed, but they are offended at Jesus. Because they've seen him. They've seen him growing up. They know his family. And yet now he's claiming to be the Son of God. And he's giving all these teachings and doing these mighty works. And they're upset because they know this person and they haven't recognized his value. Let me give you an illustration of how this can happen. There's a teacher, English teacher, who wrote these words. As the only English teacher in a small rural school, I had the mixed pleasure of teaching my own three sons. They begged me not to call on them in class, use them as examples, or tell any family stories, to which I agreed. On the first day of class, they each invariably would choose a seat in the far corner and refuse to make eye contact with me. I left them alone. But making it to the high school English class was a rite of passage for the rest of the students who were eager to participate in Mrs. Dupree's class. In other words, their fellow students really enjoyed her class and loved even to participate. And she writes, I watched as my children began to see me through their eyes. And one day my oldest son asked me in puzzlement, Mama, do they know who you are? And I'm sure he was referring to the fact that I was just a mother, just his mother. But listen to her response. Son, do you know who I am? Yes, he had known her as his mother. But in that familiarity, he had not realized just how engaging and how good an English teacher she was. This reminded me of a question or some questions that Jesus asked his disciples. He came into the region of Caesarea Philippi. He asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? So they said, some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. Now watch this. He said to them, but who do you say that I am? Who do you say that I am? He wanted them to personalize that question, to be able to really think about not what they had heard, but they had been with Jesus, and now he's asking them, who am I to you? Simon Peter spoke up, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. You see, there are people who knew Jesus through his boyhood up until he grew into an adult. They were familiar with him, but apparently that familiarity brought contempt. They were offended at him when he began his earthly ministry and began teaching and doing these miracles and proclaiming that he was the Son of God. And because of that familiarity, they missed the blessing of Christ, though he had been in their presence for years. Couldn't that happen today? people hear about Jesus, even memorize facts about him. But yet they're so familiar with this idea and the teaching concerning Jesus that yet they haven't internalized it and personalized it. And because of that familiarity and a refusal to submit to him, they miss out on the blessing of Christ. The significance of who Jesus is and what he has done has lost its meaning for some because they're so familiar with him. The wonder of his life, his ministry, what he has done, slips by because they've become overly familiar, perhaps. Or it's become commonplace to them as to who Jesus is. There's one more group I'd like to highlight. Not because they miss the blessing of Christ, but they receive the blessing of Christ. And that's in Matthew chapter 2 that we've been studying in today. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." In contrast to all these others that we've studied about that missed the blessing of Christ, these wise men received the blessing of Christ, and that they were able to follow that star and find where Jesus was and even worship him as they intended. What separated the wise men from these others who missed out on the blessing of Jesus? Well, everyone knows of the wise men. They're often connected with the birth of Jesus. Most manger scenes at Christmas have the wise men somewhere close, don't they? Traditionally, they are kneeling beside the manger, worshiping the baby Jesus. However, many believe that these wise men did not arrive until sometime later. They came from afar off. Many scholars believe that it may have been 2 years before they actually arrived in Bethlehem. Matthew 2:16, I think, gives this indication. Herod, when he saw that he was deceived by the wise men, that they didn't come back and tell him the location of this baby, that he was exceedingly angry, and he sent forth and put to death all the male children who were in Bethlehem and in all the districts from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had determined from the wise men. So perhaps some time, perhaps even 2 years had passed. But here are these wise men that have come following the star to find the one who had been born king of the Jews. We also find Matthew 2 verse 11 that the baby Jesus was in a house at this time and not a manger. But the message is not when did the wise men arrive, but rather why they sought him. According to our text, they came to worship him. Where is he who's been born king of the Jews? We have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. Verse 10 says, when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. When they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshiped him. And when they opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. The wise men, the reason they received the blessing, didn't miss the blessing of Christ, but received the blessing of Christ, is simply because they were searching for him. Whereas the innkeeper was oblivious. Whereas the chief priests and the scribes knew the scriptures, yet they didn't link them or didn't care to link them with this baby who had been born. And others who may have been involved in idolatry just missed out on the blessing of Jesus. These wise men were searching for him. They came from afar off. From the east, the scripture says, perhaps from Mesopotamia, perhaps from Babylon. And some wonder if Daniel had influenced people through the generations since he had died. That perhaps he had been such an influence that the hope and desire for the coming Messiah had carried down through the years, and men knew that someday there would be one born who would save his people. But they came from the east, from a long way away. And we don't know how many there were. Tradition has it that there were three. The song says there were three. There were three gifts. But they traveled a long time. They came around, most likely, the Arabian desert. Some suggest it may have taken months, perhaps 4 months, based upon a passage in Ezra 7, verse 9, about another group that traveled. 4 months. They probably went to a great expense to make the journey, but they came to worship Him. We have come to worship Him. Worship is so vital in our lives as Christians. Without worship, we'll not become what God wants us to be. It requires giving. And as we read about these wise men presenting these gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh, these are very valuable and no doubt the best that they had. And it reminds us in our worship that we need to give our best, our attention, our singing with our hearts, praying, thoughtfully engaged in our worship. When too many times we give God the leftovers. But we see these wise men eager, anxious, joyful at the thought of seeing the child who had become king of the Jews. They came with great joy, Matthew 2 and verse 10. But they also listened to God's warning. God told them about Herod's wicked plans and instructed them to return home a different way. Do not go back and tell Herod about the whereabouts of the babe, of the child. And so they departed from Jesus a different way. Look at Matthew 2 verse 12. Then being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way. But I like to think they left not only in a different route, but they left changed. They were changed from their experience of witnessing the one born King of the Jews, the Messiah. It reminds us that when a person searches for Christ sincerely and finds Him, his life is changed as well. No one can come to Jesus sincerely and really discover who He is and what He has done without being changed. So I remind you of this phrase that we see from time to time, that wise men still seek Him. Wise men still seek Him. Among so many that missed out on the blessing of Jesus, the wise men didn't, because they were searching for Him. Are you seeking Christ? Or are you missing the blessing? Herod missed it because of his jealous fear and his refusal to be ruled by another king. The chief priests and scribes missed it because of their self-righteousness, their holy indifference. The innkeeper missed it because of ignorant preoccupation. The Romans missed it because they were worshiping something else. And the Nazarenes missed it because of the deadness of familiarity. Let's don't miss out on the blessing. See, the wise men received the blessing because they searched for Him and found Him. And we would be wise to follow their example. Perhaps tonight you've sought for Christ and have found Him and recognized what He has done for us in paying the price for our sins on the cross. And you're ready to surrender your life in obedience to His will, to become a Christian, to become a follower of His. If you're ready to obey the gospel tonight, to be baptized, or if you need the prayers of the church on your behalf, don't miss out on the blessing. Wise men still seek Him. If you need to respond, please do so right now as we stand and sing.